Well, welcome, welcome again. I'm Reverend Crystal Muldrow, and we are all blessed. You know, I believe that's one of the reasons why we come to church, is to get that reminder, yes? We believe we come to church because we're in pain, we're hurting. I think the truth is that we come to church to be reminded that not all of life is pain, but that there's so much to be grateful for. Because that's the spiritual lesson, ultimately, is that no matter how much we forget, how much life gets us down, we come here to be reminded that God is with us. And especially here in Unity, we come here to be reminded that God does not smite us. God is not testing us. God is not doing anything to be authoritative and to manipulate us into doing the right thing. We're here in gratitude to know, first of all, be grateful that God loves us with an unconditional love, that God is here only as our blessing, and that the truth of us is that we are here to manifest the greatness and glory of God in and through us. And so, through this time of gratefulness, I've been trying to remind everyone that there is this time of great fullness. That's really what this time and this holiday kind of really hones us back in on. You know, Thanksgiving is here, then Christmas and Hanukkah and Kwanzaa, and it's joy-filled, it's celebratory, and then we go into the new year, and we make these wonderful resolutions, and then by February, we kind of have that upspring of Valentine's, unless you don't have someone, and then we kind of just slowly but surely go back into the ebb and the flow of the world. And sometimes it isn't hard. We're not to blame. It's our world. It's out there in the news. But right here, right now, I'm hopefully changing consciousness so that anytime you find yourself in that woe's me state, and we all go there, we're all allowed to go there. Anytime you find yourself in the what's going on with this world, I invite you to fill yourself up with gratitude and to focus in on the inventory of things in your life to be grateful for, things in this city to be grateful for, things in this country, things in this world to be grateful for. Let us see that life is so good that when we continue to take this inventory, there's nothing but glee and happiness that can come forward. So I ask you again to look around at each and every person who is here, especially our beautiful new person. All of us, look at the beauty and just in your mind's eyes, initially just say, thank you for being here. Thank you for being here with me. Turn around, people in the front. Look at the people in the back. Look all around. This is participatory. You're not done yet. Now verbally look at one another, each person whose eyes you can catch, and say, thank you for being you. Thank you for being you. Thank you for being you. Thank you. Because truly, as we come here to remember to be full of gratitude, we are also here to realize that we are grateful for the God that is within us as well. We're also here today celebrating not just us individually, but us as a community, because no matter what is going on, we are prosperous individually. Now, I only have a jump drive in my pocket right now, but I know that my prosperity is coming. I know that in this ministry, even a few months ago, the board had an urgency in which we asked, you know, there is a need in this ministry, and you responded. And I want to invite Dennis Ryan, who's going to show you that the ebbs and flows of life continue to move forward. But even us as a ministry, after celebrating 35 years of incorporation, we are abundant. We're abundant because individually we have an abundance consciousness, and this abundance consciousness has brought us here. 35 years, November 13th, we signed, actually our forefathers of the ministry and foremothers in the ministry signed paperwork that said we are a non-for-profit church called Unity Church in Albany. And even though you'll see a picture, and of Arthur, because I could not find the picture of the woman before that, just know that we stand on, as our dear Heather would say, we stand on the shoulders of greatness here. And we have a lot to be grateful for. And so I'm calling up Dennis Ryan to share with us the aspect of the reasons why our ministry is so great and why we should be grateful and happy for the 35 years and more, because that's just the incorporation. We started off before that, before we were incorporated as Unity. Dennis, would you guide us in that story, please? The story of greatness that is us.
Good morning. I'm Dennis Ryan.
Hello, Dennis.
And I've worn many hats here at Unity Church in Albany, but this morning, I wear my storytelling hat. Those of you who have become members and attended training, the first thing you learned was that the Unity Movement was founded by two people, by a woman of great prayer consciousness who healed herself of tuberculosis, and by her scientific husband who said, if she can do it, I can do it. And his organizational ability combined with her dedication to prayer started the Unity Movement. Unity Church in Albany was founded by two individuals. One name you'll never hear unless you listen to me, because she never ever joined. And she is the founder of Unity Church in Albany. She learned of Unity principles from her own mother. Her name is Lynn Davis. She was using Daily Word and other Unity publications to operate a prayer meeting for teenage girls. And she had a friend named Margaret, popularly Peg White, who also cottoned on to these prayer principles and said, we've got to do something about this. Well, let's just take a moment to let that soak in. Unity Albany was founded by two people. Both of our founders are women. So all this took place in the 1970s. So just as the Greater Unity Movement, Unity Church in Albany, was founded on the cornerstone of prayer consciousness, in 1981, a formal study group started meeting. By 1983, Peg White bought a big house on Western and Manning Boulevard. And there was a regular place to meet. By later that same year, they had enough prosperity consciousness to hire a licensed Unity teacher and bring him in from Rochester. And then they manifest even more prosperity, and they hired their first full-time minister, Rebecca Clark, in 1984. And as you now know, later that year, we were incorporated thanks to the work of attorneys named Sam Madison and Josephine Cleary. 39 charter members. Lynn Davis was not included. She never joined. She always was the North Star, telling us, this is the way to go, and why aren't you out in the community doing more work? Founded in prayer consciousness, prosperity manifests growth. We then, by 1985, were renting space in the Women's Club in Albany. Reverend Roberta Yackel was hired in 87, Reverend Arthur Wells in 91. For those 10 years that we spent at the Women's Club, every Sunday and every Thursday, we had to set the room up, set all the chairs up, set up the lectern, set up the tables, unbox all the bookstore, and at the end of service, we had to stack all the chairs, put all the books back in the boxes. And one day, someone said, "Reverend Arthur, when are we going to have our own church?" Reverend Arthur, without a moment's hesitation, said, "When 51% of you truly want a church home, you will manifest one." Well, one of the people that heard that was the current treasurer. His name is Morgan Barclay. Morgan was quite a shining star. Both he and his wife Cynthia went on to become ordained ministers after they left here. Morgan said, this is the fall of 1995. Holiday season is not the time to raise money. He consulted the development specialist in Kansas City. Her name was Reverend Shay St. John, and she reminded him how difficult it is to raise money in the fall, and simply said, "Does your congregation have the appropriate abundance consciousness?" Morgan said yes, and never looked back. The bank required a down payment of $50,000 to buy this place. Now, we had, by now, for probably 5-8 years, we had a committee, a standing committee called Home of Our Own Committee. Every time we mentioned it and talked about the progress, we were affirming Home of Our Own, Home of Our Own, Home of Our Own. Every month, regardless of the level of income, a certain percentage was tithed to the Home of Our Own fund. And Morgan also had the foresight to tithe a smaller percentage, like 1% every month, to a little fund to redecorate the building once it was found. By 1996, Valentine's Day, president of the board, Bill Byrd, signed the mortgage. We own this building. For the next month, 70 congregants crawled all over this building, painted everything. Our board president took down every ceiling tile and painted it and put it back up. Everybody worked and worked and worked. The work finished at 1 o'clock in the morning on March 17th. A mere month later, at 1 o'clock in the morning, people had been here since 8. They'd gone home to feed the cat. They'd gone home to get more comfortable shoes. They're still here at 1 o'clock in the morning. We straggle out the door, and our newly elected board president, Ginger Althoff, says, "Everybody has to go back inside. We have to sit in the silence and gratitude." It was a lot easier to drive home after sitting in the silence. One of our first guest speakers was Reverend Lafayette Seymour from Washington, D.C. He spoke on prosperity. He ended with the denial and affirmation, "Thought of lack has no power over me. God is the source of my good." So the next treasurer, whoever he was, who was responsible for making those mortgage payments, adopted that denial and affirmation, and we used it. And whenever there was an appearance of lack, people dug deeper, and all the bills were paid on time. 2003, Reverend Jim Fuller came. By 2004, we had more maintenance to do and more upgrades to do. And Jim Fuller said, "We're not going to prioritize these. We're going to raise $10,000 right now." Now, who do you think mentored Reverend Morgan Barclay when he was in ministry school? Reverend Jim Fuller. We raised $10,000, and it was easier to raise the money than it was to hire the contractors to do the work. Also, in 2005, the mortgage was paid in full. And which brings us up to 2016. Reverend Crystal Muldrow comes on the scene, introduces us to the White Stone ceremony, and promptly revitalizes a moribund prayer ministry here and makes it even better than ever. So we are prosperous. Yeah. consciousness is the foundation, but prosperity consciousness is what sustains us. So please say along with me, thought of lack has no power over me, God is the source of my good. Thought of lack has no power over me, God is the source of my good. And for anyone who wants to know what we all looked like in 1996, here it is.
You know, also on the side, in the front, in the back, in the, our bulletins are a history that one of our founding members, Audrey Madison, created. And so we made some copies of that so that you can pick those up. Those are for you to keep so that you have a real history of who we are. And so, you know what, Dennis? I believe that you just pretty much did my job for me. Before I continue to go on, though, and I don't see any of the people I've been told about this, but still, we're going to ask. Who was here anywhere from 1984 to 1990 with the ministry? Anyone here during that time? Okay. So how about 1990 to 95? Anyone who was at the ministry at that time? So, gentlemen, after the service, if you can come up, these are in honor, the succulents are in honor of you. So after the service, you can come. There's different cases. Please pick the one so that we can just honor you and thank you for still being here, for still holding that vision and continuing for us to have you as the foundation for us to continue to grow in consciousness and to manifest greatness in this ministry. Thank you very much. And so with that, as you go forward with your Thanksgiving, our story, Unity's story, is a beautiful story of triumph, a shift of consciousness, of times when people said, I don't know how we're going to do this, and with a strong consciousness saying, we are going to do it with ease and with efficiency. Take an inventory of your life. And don't just look at the things that are going wrong. Take an inventory of the things and the beauty to be thankful for and for those things that you just can't get past. Remember the greatness that is you and as you so that you're not trying to falsify or deny in false ways what the truth is, but you can replenish and magnify the truth of your greatness so that it diminishes and puts less weight on the things that aren't going right. You know, one thing I will say, though, that I know this is a backlash. I've noticed it on Facebook and Instagram, this backlash against positivity. You know, Unity has based on positivity, and I get it. False positivity is no good. We're not talking about false positivity. I'm not even saying never be negative. Unity, what used to be like that, stop your stinking thinking, it's your fault. That is a malpractice. No, what we're saying though is be conscious of all your thoughts and to make a choice that if you want a better life, if you want to move beyond the circumstances that are bringing you down, you cannot have misery bring up misery. Misery will only continue to bring you down. But when you're in a space that you're just tired of being tired, when you're tired of being down on the ground and it doesn't seem like there's anything to be thankful for, the only thing way you can rise is to have an attitude of gratitude. The only way you can get out of the muck and mire is to see that there is a brighter land before you that you can walk to, that you can get to. It isn't about trying to deny your pain, is trying to move out of your pain. No, it's not even trying, it's moving out of your pain. And in gratitude and thankfulness allows you to move out of the sorrows and the pains that you're going through, no matter what they are, to see a brighter picture in your life and to allow that to lift you up, allow that to move you forward, and allow you to see that even with that, even the aspects of your life that you thought were hampering you, those actually are times that you can also be grateful, because now you can see the lessons in this. In our humanity, sometimes it takes us to see the darkness, to be in that sorrow, to feel the joy even greater. That isn't necessarily a bad thing. So as you move forward, not just through Thanksgiving on Thursday, which, by the way, since I won't be here, happy Thanksgiving. Move beyond the sorrow of the expectation that some people have that I'm going to be with family. Oh, my God. And move to the thankfulness that you have the family. Move to the gratitude that if you have parents that you're just kind of like, oh, they want something else for my life. Be grateful that they see that you have a life and only want greatness. Be grateful. Find the gratitude in every aspect. And know that gratitude will manifest a joyous life. And there, my friends, is one of the spiritual practices. There, my friends, is really what God wants us to do. God doesn't want to be the authoritative component. God wants to live, breathe, and have its being in you as the joy that comes when life is great, as the joy that comes when heaven is here on earth. As you move forward, embrace the presence of God within you to allow God to guide you into the greatness of joy and happiness, to allow you to guide you out of the aspects of pain and misery and lack, and to the awe of the abundance that is here as you, the abundance as this world and as all of our lives. Thank you, God. Amen. Amen. With that, let us say our affirmation. I'll say it to you, and then we can say it together. I am grateful and wonderfully blessed. I am grateful and wonderfully blessed. Breathe that in, and one more time. I am grateful and wonderfully blessed. And so it is. Amen.